This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on the show today, we'll hear about the Cincinnati Zoo's upcoming Plant Trials Day, a look at which plants have been tested and proven to do well in the Cincinnati area. First up, with a great view of the Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky skylines, the Metropolitan Club is marking its 25th anniversary this year. Through the years, the private business club has brought together members from many different backgrounds and given back to Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky through its charitable mission. And here to talk about the Metropolitan Club, its purpose, and what it's like to be a member is the new president, Dan Bockrath, former publisher of Cincinnati City Beat. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dan, good to see you this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
Dan, tell me about how the club got its start. You know, 1991, it's hard to believe that's been 25 years ago. Makes me feel old.
Yes, well, yes, the club was founded in 1991. It was created by co-founders who developed the building, Mr. Bill Butler, Mr. Dan Fay, and Mr. Gordy Snyder. When the River Center building was built at that time, they had a vision for creating a club that could be a kind of a hub of energy where business leaders can gather and connect and get things done. So it was opened in the winter of 1991, and we're celebrating our 25th anniversary on Saturday, November 5th.
And Judge Nathaniel Jones, he was one of the founding members, wasn't he?
Yeah, so there were a number of co-founding members, and Judge Nathaniel Jones was one of them. And as many of your listeners are probably aware, he was recently honored by the NAACP with their highest award, the Spingarn Medal, at their recent convention. And I think he's an example and an embodiment of how the club can be a resource for members. He's wiser than just about anybody in Cincinnati, and he's available and accessible to the members of the club, and he's brought great ideas and energy to what we do there.
Now, how is the view from the club?
Well, I would describe it as breathtaking. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, now on your website, you talk about how the club literally and figuratively has a 360-degree view of the community. So you can see the Cincinnati skyline, you can see the Northern Kentucky skyline. I'm wondering about the figurative side, if you could kind of explain that broad view of the community for me.
So the club was founded on principles of philanthropy and giving back to community, and that was really important to the vision of the creators. And I think figuratively, I think one of the ways it was described was bridging the bridges between Ohio and Kentucky. And for us to be an energy resource, a hub of social energy, business energy, philanthropic energy, creative energy. At any given time when you're at the club, these types of activities are happening. Members are building their and developing their professional networks by engaging with other members through those activities. And as a result, it's just always a hub of activity.
So was part of the original vision to serve as a networking venue for local professionals?
I certainly think that was part of it, but I think more than networking, there's an engagement component to it as well, and part of that revolves around the club's principles of giving back to community. So the charitable component, and I think it's very rare for a club like this to provide that sort of resource to its members, that the majority ownership of the club are two local nonprofit social service agencies. One of them is called Be Concerned, and one of them is called Life Learning Center. They're the majority owners of the club, and at the end of each year, they receive the majority of the proceeds as a result. So the activities of the membership, you know, directly impact these local organizations, and it definitely feels good to know that you're doing your part to give back. But I think there's more to it than that. You know, there's this club within a club approach that we have for our members, where we have an active mentoring program where some of our newer, younger members can access resources like Judge Jones for mentoring and for business ideas and for guidance and direction. We also engage our members to be active. We're starting a new speaker series called Voices at the Met. It's a community roundtable series. The first event is Thursday, August 25th, and it's on the topic of heroin in our community. And this isn't the kind of an event where members listen to panelists. This is an event where our members participate, actively participate in conversation with experts, become involved in the process of coming up with solutions and then coming up with action plans around those solutions. So this is an active process, not a passive process. And it's a way for our members to become more engaged and more involved and contribute ideas that will help solve problems.
Dan, you mentioned Be Concerned was one of the charities that proceeds go to.
Correct.
Tell us about them.
So Be Concerned, I would say, is more closely equivalent to Free Store Food Bank on this side of the river. So they're a food bank. They also provide some clothing and basic household necessities for those that are struggling with poverty. And then the other organization is Life Learning Center, which I'm really excited about. They work with at-risk individuals, many of them who are coming out of incarceration that want to reenter society and want to be a contributing member of society. So they make a commitment to a 12-week program. And what Life Learning Center does is they provide them with resources, education, training, coaching, support, and probably most importantly, accountability. So they're taught how to balance a checkbook. They're taught how to get records expunged. You know, they learn a lot of things, and that allows them to find work and become contributing members of their community.
So this is what you call a city club, correct?
Correct.
What's the difference between that and a country club?
So the way I describe the Metropolitan Club to my colleagues is when you think about a country club that's socially centered, but a place where business gets conducted and its kind of major amenities are, say, golf and swimming. Contrast that with the Metropolitan Club, which is a city club. We're more business-centric with a real strong social component. And then our centerpiece is an amazing restaurant with outstanding cuisine and, as mentioned earlier, probably the most amazing views of the city skyline that anyone will ever see. So that, I think, that provides the context or the frame of reference as to what we are. And, of course, we're right on the river. As you cross the Roebling Bridge, you can't miss us. We're right next to the Ascent Building just into Covington.
Now, how did you go? What's it been like for you going from being a co-founder and a publisher of City Beat to being president of the Metropolitan Club?
Well, it's been 2 months. I started there on June 1st. And I tell you what, I find it to be a very energizing experience. I'm real excited about the possibilities. It was an interesting transition, you know, after being the publisher of City Beat for 21 years. But I think when I was recruited and had the opportunity to take the position, I think what the owner saw in me was my ability to reinvent the City Beat brand, which, you know, when the recession hit in the late 2000s, you know, media companies in general fell on troubled times. So we had to evolve and innovate and diversify our revenue streams. And one of the main ways we did that was through special events. Special events allowed us to amplify our brand and create new audiences, which allowed us to sustain our model and make it through those difficult times. I think the private club industry has gone through some similar challenges. I mean, pretty much every business was affected by the recession. But by reimagining what a business club like the Metropolitan Club could be, by evolving and innovating the club, by adding creative events, doing programming like Voices at the Met, we also have a programming developed by our young professional society called The Courage to Fail. It's kind of like our version of TED Talk. So it's a storyteller series that we do quarterly as well. By coming up with more creative and interesting programming and just doing some more creative outreach, there were a lot of parallels, and that's what excited me about the opportunity.
So that's what attracted you to this role. Was there anything that has surprised you about making this transition?
Well, I think there are surprises every day. So I think what's surprised me more than anything else, and I can even speak to personal experience, I think it's just a lack of awareness of the Metropolitan Club. I think that's part of the challenges and also part of the opportunity I see with my experience in marketing and promotion is when I describe it to friends, they're kind of curious and inquisitive, but they don't know that much about it. As soon as I show them a picture of the building, they're like, oh, I know where you're at. I think that that's what surprised me more than anything coming into the position is, and actually what excited me about it is, you know, a lack of awareness combined with maybe an inaccurate perception about what the club represents to its community, because I think it's rare for a club to have that philanthropic component. I also think, you know, I was also excited about knowing that this is a club that's welcoming and inclusive and diverse in its membership. And as I learned more about it, it removed my preconceived notions about the club and got me very excited about the opportunity. It's like, well, this is an amazing resource for our community, and more people need to know about it, and I'm just the person to do it.
Well, tell me about the membership, Dan. How diverse is it, and how inclusive is the club?
What would be the best way to describe it? We're running at about 750 members right now. What I think a lot of people would be surprised about is we have just as many members on the Cincinnati side as we have on the Northern Kentucky side. So our membership is evenly divided across both sides of the river. You know, as a business club, it is a membership that's comprised primarily of business leaders. But
you've got people from all walks of life.
But yeah. We have people from all walks of life, yeah, that take advantage of the amenities and attributes. So, you know, whether it's the LGBT community or a multicultural community, women executives and entrepreneurs. And I think there's really opportunity for what I would describe as the next generation of membership, which are the millennial business owners, the entrepreneurs that are looking to develop their connections. You know, they're aspirational, and we provide an environment for them to gather and conduct business and have their business meetings and meet new people.
So membership is invitation only. How's that process work?
So it's invitation only in terms of being sponsored by another member. Certainly, members are our best promotion. So as members enjoy their experiences and they want to share in those experiences, they find colleagues in the industries that they're in and recommend them for membership.
We will continue our conversation about the Metropolitan Club, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. Email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us this afternoon, Dan Bockrath, former publisher of City Beat. He's now the president of the Metropolitan Club. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dan, on the club's website, it talks about how the majority of the club stock is actually owned by local charities. How unusual is that?
Well, I think that's a rare thing in this industry. I'm new to it, so I'm still learning. But I think that's representative of the vision and the mission of the club to be focused on events and activities that give back to community. As I shared earlier, this bridging of the bridges concept was very altruistic. And in an intentional way that the club was set up to operate. So when members are engaged in activities, doing special events or eating in the dining room or their membership dues and everything else, you know, all those funds accumulate, and at the end of the year, the profits then are returned to those two specific organizations. So, and then, as I said earlier, we encourage an active approach to that as well, whether it's through our roundtable series or our other events. You know, we feel that's just a very unique and important component of the club that not a lot of people realize. I think it's very non-traditional. And I think as an alternative weekly publisher, I found that highly appealing when I started the interview process. I thought this is really important. This is really unique that the club embraces philanthropy as part of its core mission. It's even stated, you know, our mission is to unite diverse stakeholders throughout the region from political, social, and business spheres who desire to make a difference in our community. That's the stated mission of our club. So we're a lot more than the traditional business club that maybe most people would think of.
How often do you hold events?
well, as often as we can, and it's one of the reasons why I'm there. I mean, we have a variety of food and drink events, but I think my knowledge of creative programming, my ability to add to that mix and promote it and market it effectively is something that I want to build on. So we have traditional food and drink events. We have a Crew Society, which is a wine group. We have monthly wine tasting dinners, about 80 people each month that actively participate in that. And that's a really nice and popular event. We have a women's group that are affectionately call themselves the Divas. They do monthly luncheons and events all the time. And then we have a cocktail club and a breakfast club once a month that's sponsored by our young professionals group. So, and then we're looking to add that with like special food and drink events. We did a big bourbon tasting event. A gentleman from Jim Beam came out and spoke to the group. So, that's a piece that I'm looking to build on, which is that club within a club component, because that's really that high touch and ultimately what it's all about for me is finding ways to create memorable experiences for our members. So when they and their guests come in, whether it's for an event or a dinner, they come away feeling like, wow, that was amazing, and I can't wait to come back, and I'm going to tell my friends.
You talk about reaching out to millennials and having a young professionals group. Mm-hmm. How much do people in their 20s and 30s, how much do they see the value of this type of an organization?
Well, that's a relatively new undertaking for me, but it's where I see our greatest area of opportunity. In fact, earlier in the middle of July, we were one of the host companies for NewCo Cincinnati that was put on by Centrifuge and the Brandery. So we consider ourselves a NewCo. I think we have an innovative vision, and much like some of these entrepreneurial companies, we think there's a place for this kind of emerging business leader that's in the entrepreneurial millennial community. Many of them don't have a workspace. I envision the Metropolitan Club as the ultimate alternative workspace. This is a place where, and a lot of our younger members use us for that. They come up, our members get complimentary breakfast, so they come in the morning, they have their business meetings in the morning, and they plug in and they get work done. And instead of going to, say, a local coffee shop or a place like that, they can come to the Met Club and be productive. So I think there's a real significant opportunity, plus there's the access to the membership. So to be able, as a member, to have the membership as a resource and to meet some of these established business leaders for coffee, the younger entrepreneurs that are trying to figure out how to turn that corner can connect with the more seasoned members who've been around that corner maybe a couple of times and can offer them advice and direction and guidance.
Tell us some about the executive chef you have at the Metropolitan Club.
Oh, well, I'm very excited about the restaurant, and I think the cuisine, I know that the cuisine that we offer is first class and as good as anything you can find in Cincinnati. And part of that is attributable to our executive chef, Chef Kelsey. So he's a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America, and he's been with the club since its inception in 1991. And he turns out some very innovative cuisine. And especially at some of these special dinner events that we do, the achievement of the dining room is just extraordinary. And when you combine that with the views, it's really quite something. And our pastry chef, Chef Terry, has been with us, I believe, about 19 years. And her desserts are right up there with the best in Cincinnati. So we're really proud of our high level of achievement with our cuisine, and I think that's one of the hallmarks of the club is the top quality restaurant that we have at the center of it.
And that is pretty remarkable that he's been with the same establishment for 25 years. That is very remarkable.
In the food and beverage industry, that's a rarity.
So, Dan, do you see a bigger role for the club in the community? I mean, what is your vision for the club in the years ahead?
So, certainly, you know, kind of rejuvenating and re-energizing the membership and increasing the activities at the club is my initial priority. But I see ourselves getting more involved and active in our immediate community. As many of your listeners probably know, Covington is really on the rise. We have a beautiful Hotel Covington facility that's opening very soon. The River Center space where our buildings are going to be undergoing some transformation. The riverfront space across from Smale Park is going to be undergoing some transformation. So we're looking just to be out in front of that, and we see ourselves as a centerpiece of that activity and that growth that's happening in the Northern Kentucky region. So I aspire to bring the club back to its heights of membership, which was around 1,200 members at its peak. And when that's happening, the club will be a hive of activity. And then from there, the possibilities are endless in terms of the different activities and things that we can do.
Now, when's the club hit the 25-year mark?
So the club opened in December of 1991. So we're doing a gala event on Saturday, November 5th to celebrate the club's 25th anniversary. The menu that chefs prepared, it's based on a theme of a club for all seasons. And the menu that chefs prepared is just remarkable. And there are drinking stations to go with each of the food stations. It's going to be a celebration that I know our members will be talking about for quite some time. And hopefully our new members, for anyone out there that wants to join our family, you're more than welcome.
Well, what do you say to somebody who might be sitting there going, well, why is something like this relevant in these days? Why is membership in a club like this important? What would you tell them?
Well, I think it's a way to build community and connect with like-minded people. As I said, this is a place where existing and emerging business leaders can connect and get things done. So it's a place to work, it's a place to play, it's a place to host, it's a place to celebrate milestone events. And in a lot of ways, we want the Metropolitan Club to be a third place, people's home away from home. Like, you know, this is where I go to get away from the craziness that's going on in our world. This is my oasis. And what we're really proud of is our high-touch approach to the people who come visit us, whether they're members or they're guests or they're there for a special event like a wedding or a rehearsal dinner or something like that. We treat everyone with the highest level of service, warm welcomes, fond farewells. People like that recognition. They want to feel special and acknowledged and appreciated, and we really go that extra mile to deliver that to our guests.
Well, Dan, best of luck to you in this new role.
Well, thank you. And I did want to mention that you know, in that 25th anniversary, we undertook our first ever membership drive initiative, our drive to 25. So go to our website or contact the club for more information.
And there's a link to the Metropolitan Club's website at WVXU.org. Dan, again, thanks for joining me. The new president of the Metropolitan Club, Dan Bockrath. And coming up, we'll have a preview of the Cincinnati Zoo's Plant Trials Day. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.